Mornings. You hit that snooze button at least 3 times. Then you rushed out the door with mismatched socks and an empty stomach. Sounds like someone needs to add some sizzle to their morning routine. Like a delicious breakfast sandwich from Mickey D's. Made fresh with hot and savory sausage. And now, get a sausage McGriddles, sausage McMuffin, or sausage biscuit for just $1 each. That's right. Get your morning sizzle back with 3 great breakfast sandwiches for $1 each only at McDonald's. Price and participation may vary. Cannot be combined with any other offer or combo meal.
The big wireless companies sold you an outdated plan tied to long-term contracts and mystery fees. Simple Mobile's different. You get a lightning-fast 4G LTE nationwide network with no contract, ever. And keep the phone and number you love. Just text the word BYOP to 611-611 to see if your phone is compatible. Simple Mobile. Out with the old, in with the simple.
Standard text, message, and data rates may apply based on your mobile phone service. Please refer always to the privacy policy at simplemobile.com/privacy policy and the terms and conditions at simplemobile.com/terms and conditions.
Yes, we are live. I'm Michael Angley, live on United Public Radio Network and live and in your face. You know what? This is the deal. People have problems. And as long as you remember that, you can like understand how to deal with them. You know what I mean? So when I see that Donald Trump and I see the Nancy Pelosi, I see problematic people. I see people that are on a certain level that I don't even like. They're on that robber baron level where they don't even understand how people are living and what people got to do to get through every day and what a gallon of milk goes for and what a loaf of bread goes for. And that's the deal. To my two favorite questions whenever I talk to politicians in person, how much is a gallon of milk? How much is a loaf of bread? They can't answer that. They don't know because they don't know how people are living. It's that simple, right? They don't buy that stuff for themselves. They got people do it for them, man, on that level. I mean, if you're a low-level congressperson, yeah, of course they're buying their own milk. But the people on the big level, the Nancy Pelosi's, the Chuck Schumer's, they don't know what the hell people are doing. They don't care either. They care about power. All of them, the same power. So now you got this wall thing going on. I don't know how effective the wall is going to be. I certainly don't know how you put a wall over a river. You know, you got some of the biggest rivers around down there. You got the freaking Rio Grande, you know what I mean? Stuff like that. You can't put a wall over a river. It's ridiculous. So it really is maybe effective in some areas, not effective in others. Then you get this other group that says it's going to build an escalator so they can take people over the wall. And there's also a new company I'm starting about a drone service to fly people over the wall. Because, you know, there's money there, right? You got to go where the bucks are, man. But the reality is, it's become a wall between Congress. You got the Republicans on one side, you got the Democrats on the other. I wish the Democrats fought with this much verve, this much power, and this much passion for us, for people in America. Remember us? You know, American citizens? All of us? Everybody? They don't. They like, well, they have to have this thing open and whatever. Oh, man. And then we talk about the residual effects of people coming into the country without seeing a doctor, without going through the process, without knowing who they are. You know, there's all kinds of isms and schisms attached to it. I would say that the bulk of the people just want a better life. Nothing wrong with that. We're supposed to be about that. We're supposed to be able to take people in and help them have that better life, right? But some of them don't want that better life. Some of them are criminals who just want to come in and commit crime. We see that all the time. We see statistics all the time. The hundreds of thousands of counts over the last few years of these illegal aliens coming in, committing crimes, rape, murder, all that. Okay, of course, you need to know who people are. Also, look at Houston, man. They got 7 cases of mumps. Mumps. So the CDC comes out a while back and says, you know, if you don't check people who are coming over the border, the United States could start experiencing diseases that we pushed out a long time ago, you know, so that's an issue also. But I'll tell you, man, this is me. This is not all these conservatives talking, liberals talking, plain old me, Michael Angley, me. When I see these people, and I'm not talking about the dudes, there's a lot of dudes who want to come in and work and whatever, and get work visas. There's all kinds of opportunity for them. We naturalize over 1 million people a year in this country, so it's not like we have the door shut. When I see the women and the children and all that, I feel for the men, and who could refuse him? And all the people out there that get on their high horse and say, oh, we could do this and that and reject him. When you look in their eyes, I think it's a different story because then that humanity kicks in. You understand? Humanity. And we're supposed to be the country that cares, because a lot of other countries don't care, or they care for whatever reason. I mean, you'll find a lot of European countries where you can have the same type of effect. And then, you know, migrants are going there. They want that first world economy. You know, in Australia, you have a lot of people from Africa who are treading these different countries to get to Australia, you know, making the big trip to get there. So, and then people are upset because it's using up their tax dollars. And there's not enough affordable housing, like in America, not enough affordable housing here to begin with. So there needs to be a balance. There needs to be an understanding, needs to be a balance. So because of this wall, it's this thing between Pelosi and Trump. Basically, that's it, right? And then, of course, they had the government shut down. And then it was a lot of grandstanding. So now they approved the budget, $1.3 billion to fund the wall. But Trump wanted $5.9. It costs us $150 billion a year for these illegal aliens that come in. But we're not going to look at that right now, because I call that high math. High math. The low math, the $5.9 billion, that the shutdown of the government cost over $6 billion by itself. Just to shut the government down, that's what the interest payments are. That's what the late payments are. All the things that we didn't fund or couldn't fund or temporarily stalled out, got to make up for. Even though you didn't get all those things, these are all just pretty much interest, right? And losses from that shutdown. So now they're trying to avert a shutdown. Trump says he's going to sign the bill. And then they're saying, whoever they are, these the media, those people that we really can't trust anyway, you know, is saying that they're going to, Trump's going to declare a state of emergency to build the wall. Now, every president has had their state of emergencies. I remember George Bush Jr. had a state of emergency when he lost a comic book that he really liked. You know what I mean? And he was like, oh my God, oh my God. And they declare a state of emergency. You know what? Bill Clinton over Monica Lewinsky. Like, oh, this is a state of emergency. Yeah. His own personal state of emergency. Times were hard back then, I understand. There was a lot of head bobbing in governments, you know, corruption, that type of thing. But the point is, they can do it. And then here's the Democrats. You can't do that. It's illegal. You know, it's not illegal. If the president deems something is a matter of national security, they can do it. It's that simple. It's a matter of opinion. It's not about legal. Legal is like, you know, you go over 55 miles an hour in a 55-mile-an-hour zone, you're speeding, is illegal, right? That's illegal. Even though we all do it, it's illegal. But this is a matter of opinion. So, yeah, if you have a president that says, I'm going to declare a state of emergency because I'm afraid that gumdrops are going to fall from the sky and start killing people, then that person's out of hand. And then Congress has to kind of rebuke that type of thing, right? But in this case, it's A-OK for him to do it. Does it warrant it? A lot of people want the wall. It's not, you know, I mean, they're saying that he's just trying to fill a campaign promise. A lot of people want that wall in certain areas. But the Border Patrol, the people on the front lines, the people that have been there under all of these political bodies, under Democrats, under Republicans, the border agents say we can use the wall in some places. We don't need the wall in other places. That makes sense to me, because then you screw everything up, this gigantic wall. What about nature? What about all that? And these little birds that have to run back and forth, you know, whatever, roadrunners and that type of thing, man. Wolves, you know, whatever the hell's going over that border. You can't really restrict it. And like I said, as for the water, tributaries, all that, rivers, there is no way you can build a wall over a river. And these guys tunnel under the wall. So then you got to build it way down deep in the earth, you know, and then there's that. So it's the issue's become a huge wall. And then there's a lot of ignorance in this government. You get a lot of people yelling and screaming. I swear they make things up every day. I think that as a writer, you can't make this stuff up. I mean, this is just like somebody hacked, you know, the Matrix. And then all of a sudden, Trump is president and all these wacky things are going on, weird things are going on. And then things don't quite add up, do they? They really don't. They don't add up. That's the deal. Including the way people pronounce people's names. Because Mike Pompeo used to be Mike Pompeo. And all the media called him Mike Pompeo. Now they're saying Mike Pompeo, right? It's kind of like, you know, Demi Moore. She was always Demi Moore. And then when she got like so full of herself, she made it Demi Moore, you know? So I'm like, okay, dummy, that's fine. That's fine. I'm with it. So, and then Gillibrand. All of them are cutthroat politicians. All of them are people that you don't even want to know. They are people who are always scheming, people who are always trying to take something from somebody else. So we don't have representation. We've never really had representation. And then when you look at these politicians and the crap that they do and the things that they say, and who, I don't know who the hell they represent. It ain't us, man. They represent the corporations that give them money, which is basically the bottom line. Last week on the show, I read 18 major corporations, the United States of America, the big money makers, energy companies, pharmaceutical companies who have not paid income tax in 8 years. 18 major corporations losing billions upon billions. As I hear Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez talk about taxing companies, how they have to pay their fair share, and I hear Trump saying the tax rate, they change it so these companies can pay. I read headlines like Amazon, second year in a row, they haven't paid taxes, posting the biggest profits ever. They haven't paid taxes 2 years in a row. You're talking about hundreds of millions of dollars per year from that one company that they should be, they make billions in profits from the one company they should be paying, right? Netflix, biggest profits ever last year, not paying taxes. General Electric, another company, hasn't paid taxes in years. So the reality is, these are robber barons. They steal. They steal legally. They steal legally because they pay politicians to make laws for them. And that's that simple. They make the rules for you and I and what we have to live under. So you see a huge company like Amazon, which has clearly taken over a lot of different markets. And then they're getting bigger and bigger and bigger. You know, we have laws put in place to make sure that companies don't have monopolies. You don't want a corporation to have a monopoly, you know? And then there's they're on the way. They're on. Even Ralph Nader is still out there kicking, man. I love Ralph Nader. If you listen to Ralph Nader, he talks all about this stuff. But Amazon, big company, giving all kinds of freebies to politicians. They're stealing right in your face, laughing about it while they're drinking their champagne and flying on their private aircraft, laughing about it, right? And check it out in New York. So Amazon made a deal with Andrew Cuomo, right? The governor of New York, who is very lowly rated right now, but he doesn't care because he just won re-election. And then he's the one calling for abortion up till birth and all these other things that are going on. And the guy's really, it's a whole Democratic government now in New York. Basically, the power has shifted towards Democrats. So the whole thing, and they're going hog wild and all the stuff they want to do, right? And then without considering or thinking about anybody. And at the same time that Amazon pulls out of Long Island City, he makes a deal. Instead of making a deal, by the way, for Amazon to go into a place like Syracuse, New York, which desperately needs the money, right? Syracuse is trying to fix itself up. They have a high crime rate because it's a cheap place to live. So a lot of welfare people, the gang guys go there and they sell drugs and stuff and whatever. Syracuse has a huge problem, right? Every urban area is going to have its problems. Syracuse has a lot more than other places on average, okay? Amazon could have gone in there. 25,000 high-paying jobs. You have people who are going to live there, who are going to work there, buy housing, buy stuff and whatever, generate the economy. Those people are going to have kids. Those kids are going to want to go to school. Syracuse University, one of the best schools in the country, right? So for certain things. But you know what? It comes down to negotiation. And where do we need to put those 25,000 jobs? So instead, Cuomo says, Long Island City. Now, if you know Long Island City, like I know Long Island City, and I know Long Island City has changed, but I also know it's kind of place you still want to roll your windows up when you're driving through. And now you had all these landlords who are like, oh, you know, the rents are there aren't cheap because it's New York City rent, right? And even though it doesn't matter with crime, you can look at San Francisco and see the drugs and the crime and all that, doesn't matter. It's still an expensive place to live. And if you don't have the money, you're going to live in the streets or you're going to go somewhere else, right? Long Island City. So a lot of people were talking about, oh, my God, Amazon's going to make it so we can't live here anymore. Things are going to be so expensive, blah, 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 blah. And the landlords were happy because then they're like, okay, you know, that's great. We can convert our apartment buildings into other things like condos or whatever, or keep in apartments and make some money, right? Anyway, they pulled out. And then you know what? Cuomo said, yeah, call me Amazon Cuomo. When do you ever hear a governor in the United States of America – a politician who represents people, say, call me Amazon Cuomo. Whoa, my God. Talk about being in bed with a corporation. And I wonder, how much did it cost? All this courting, you know, trying to get Amazon in there. Oh, flying their executives in, putting them up in the hotels, paying for all their stuff, food, whatever, taking them out. All that. So that failed. They pulled out. They're looking at something else. They, you know, and now Cuomo's got more egg on his face. But like I said, he just won re-election. He doesn't care. The only time these guys care about their election is when they're, you know, running for something. And then they got to get in. And that's really what it is. And once they're in, they don't do anything. That typical politician, right? Anyway, they're leaving. People are leaving, too, out of New York. You know, in fact, I know a lot of people who are leaving New York and a lot of people with money who are leaving New York. So then Cuomo comes out today saying Florida is stealing people from New York. Stealing. Theft. People are coming from Florida, kidnapping millionaires, bringing them to Florida and forcing them to live there. Right? Wrong. People are leaving New York because of Andrew Amazon Cuomo, because they don't want to be around a situation where the taxes are going to go up and up and up and up and up. And the regular old people are going to have to pay. And at some point, it's going to be rich and poor. There's a class war going on, and they don't care because he's Amazon Cuomo. He's going to blame everybody else. So first he blamed the whole new Trump tax thing. He blamed it on the red states, that they're the ones who are going to prosper, and New York is going to get hurt because of all of our tax problems and whatever. So then it turns out that there's a $2.3 billion budget gap because they didn't count right. And then the money's not coming in like they said it's supposed to be coming in. And then they blame that on taxes. They blame that on the millionaires leaving. So first Cuomo went from saying the millionaires aren't leaving. And then a week and a half later, he's saying the millionaires are leaving. And it's Florida's fault. Or it's the red state's fault. Or it's the tax fault. But, you know, he's one of those classic people, a politician who will not take responsibility for his own crappy actions. It's that simple, Amazon Cuomo. He should be ashamed of himself. But guess what? People like that have no sense of shame. They can't be ashamed of themselves. They don't understand what shame is. All they understand is take, 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 and it's that simple. So that's where we're at right there. Then talk about people. I'm going to tell you about people, man. I know a couple of dudes who ended up getting in big trouble with the law and even going to jail because people made false complaints about them. Girls, women said, oh, that guy raped me. I was sleeping, whatever. And then it turns out both of the times they said that the guy didn't do it. And then after they had gotten railroaded, you know, how do you get back that year or 2 years after these people come to their senses and say, oh, they didn't do it, whatever. There's a lot of false complaints out there. You know, not all of them are false, obviously, but there's a lot of false complaints out there, and people are apt to believe certain people over others, right? Anyway, here we get this Empire actor, you know, this dude, Jussie Smollett, right? Light-skinned black guy, gay guy, said he was attacked by Make America Great people, but he said he was attacked by Trump people, and then they roughed him up, the rednecks roughed him up, and they put a noose around his neck, and then they were going to kill him, and he escaped and all that, right? So ever since the story happened, people were raising their eyebrows and like, I don't know if I can believe this, because a lot of things weren't adding up. And I'll tell you, as an investigator, when you start putting information in that timeline and things don't add up, you know, you start seeing those gaps. You got to fill those gaps and find out what happened. All right. The police asked him for his telephone records. He wouldn't give it to them. Then he only gave him some of his telephone records. All that stuff went on. Now, ABC News, big liberal news outlet, let's add that, because they have an agenda, you know, news outlets that have an agenda. I actually don't consider news outlets, but I will quote the story. Sources say police are investigating whether Jussie Smollett staged the attack with the help of others, allegedly, and now he's allegedly being ridden off his show he's on, Empire, right, which I've never seen. So Chicago police confirmed Thursday that detectives are talking to two persons of interest in connection with the alleged attack on Empire actor Jussie Smollett. And this has become a huge deal in the media because they're like, oh, Trump people, they're evil, and they're this and that. Yeah, maybe some of them. You know what I mean? Maybe, I don't know. You know, I mean, can you assign that description to a blanket amount of people, just a general description of all kinds of people, I would say that's pretty bigoted if you don't know the particulars, right? The very thing that these guys are accusing other people to be is what they are. So multiple sources have told Eyewitness News that police are investigating, of course. And then a source familiar with the investigation said that Smollett failed to appear for an interview with detectives earlier Thursday. It's closing in on him. Chicago Police Superintendent Eddie Johnson contacted ABC7 to say that they are continuing to treat Smollett as a victim and the investigation means ongoing. Of course you got to treat him like a victim because, one, you don't know. And until you know, you don't know. And in America, actually, you're innocent until proven guilty. I like to think so, even though you're not, especially in the media. They will try and convict you in the media, and then you'll have no choice but just to deal with it, right? But this dude, he's a gay black guy. And then every media outlet's afraid to say that. It's not him, you know? Then the guy goes out and says, oh, you know, if the people that attacked me were Asian or Spanish or black, people would believe it right away. You know, I'll tell you, man, there's a lot of racism in this country, and it's getting worse, not better. There's supposed to be a better understanding of people. There's not. And it's getting uglier by the day. And as people are offended by every little tiny thing, it gets worse because it's beyond racism now. And it's beyond, you know, gender this and all whatever. You know, just leave people alone. If people are cool, they're cool. If they're not cool, they're not cool. That's the way I divide people out. Cool over here, not cool over there, you know? But if this guy lied, and this is what everybody's saying, all the news outlets that were on his side are all raising their eyebrows now, saying that, you know, this is very interesting. So, I mean, and the police are into it because if he did lie, and it looks like he did, they're going to charge him. They're going to charge him with felonies, making a false complaint, all the other stuff, and the huge investigation that went through, right? So police removed shoes and electronic devices and other items they believe could help them determine if the two people played any role in the assault from those homes that they went into. People raided these homes, right? So here's this guy making all these complaints and people raiding homes, going in there. Unbelievable, man. No charges filed yet. But when they obtained all these phone records and all this other stuff, and they realized that that nothing added up. And they're asking him, like, hey, you know, is this a publicity stunt? Is this something you're doing just because you want to push the issue? You know, or did it really happen? Are we on a goose chase? So the original story was that Small said he was attacked around 2 a.m. on January 29th in the 300 block of East North Water Street in Chicago's Streeterville neighborhood. He told people two masked men shouted homophobic slurs at him, attacked him, put a rope around his neck, and poured a liquid onto him that smelled like bleach. So that's the deal. And I'll tell you, man, it's a lot of ugliness for if it's real or not, you know? I mean, it's both hideous, either direction. If it's real, it's hideous. If it's not real, it's hideous. Stuff like that should never happen. But I'll tell you, I'm in Ithaca, New York. I know that a couple of gay guys who were having lunch at an outside restaurant were attacked by a couple of hillbillies. They came by, they made fun, they heard the guys slurring their words, like they're gay and whatever, like then, and started making fun of them, got into a huge brawl. So it does happen. It does happen because people are ignorant and people fear what they don't understand. It's that simple. They fear what they don't understand. And fear is the mind killer. Fear is something that will stop you in your tracks, you know, if you let it, if you allow it to. So it just gets me because I know people that actually got into big trouble and they tried doing the right thing and they got railroaded, you know, and it becomes, you know, at what point are you willing to like take it from this world and the justice system and all that? If you get railroaded constantly and people are constantly, you know, accusing others. Look at that girl who accused those guys of rape right in Connecticut. And, you know, she had sex with two dudes. That's what happened. They got fucked. They got drunk. Excuse me. They got drunk. And then they all had sex. She had a boyfriend. She didn't want the boyfriend to know that she banged two guys. So she lies. One goes to the police and says these guys raped her, that she was raped. And then these dudes had to register as sex offenders. They lost their scholarships. They lost their school. I'll forget about their reputation. And even though it was found out that she had lied. And then she eventually said, yeah, she lied and whatever. Years later, a few years later, these guys, their reputations are already tarnished. And it's not going to go away. Let me tell you, these ads on the internet, these articles on the internet are there for years. And if somebody goes after your character out there and they keep stomping on you and whatever, there's not much recourse that you have. Not much you can do unless you can prove libel or slander and things like that. But people lie. It happens. And then because of those lies, other people's lives can get destroyed. You know, and we've seen this time and time and time again. We've also seen how easy it is for the media to believe people. You know, Rolling Stone, when they printed the whole article about rape on campus and this girl came forward and said she was raped or whatever, whole thing was a lie. Now they're being sued by all kinds of people because they lied. And then, you know what? They didn't just – Rolling Stone magazine, this is a deal. If you tell your friend something or somebody you know or a group of people in your office or whatever the hell you work, that pretty much stays there unless they retell the story. If you go on Rolling Stone and say something, millions of people are going to see it. You know, if you go on the media and say something, millions of people are going to see it. Because of that, there's a responsibility that comes with the media. There's a responsibility that comes with every show that's on, including this one. You know, and you have to understand, if you can influence people in any way, you have to use it for good and not evil, right? This is why when these actors come out and musicians and talk politics, I don't care. I don't care what your opinion is because I don't care. No, man, I told this lady that who started attacking me on Facebook over freaking Hillary Clinton. And I didn't even say anything negative about Hillary Clinton. Actually, I was saying negative stuff about this Republican in Alabama who was accused of rape. I was saying that type of stuff. And then I likened him to Hillary's story, the book that she had put out, Why She Lost, you know, Why I Lost. You know why she lost? It didn't even have to be a book. It didn't have to be a pamphlet. Why I lost? Because I'm fundamentally unlikable. That's all they had to say. Book over. You know what I mean? The end. But by the way, I know a guy who just bought like 1,000 of those books as firewood because they're like 50 cents a piece. You know, he says it's cheaper than buying Firestarter. I love that. I'm like, send me video of you burning these books. I love it. But the deal is that this woman went crazy with her opinion, writing all this stuff. I didn't even read the crap that she wrote. Just saw the first line, and it was obnoxious. So I wrote, you know what? I don't care what you think. She was like, then to that, she was like, how dare you not care what I think? How dare you not care what I think? Why would I? I don't even know you. You know my family. You know my friends. You don't know me. I don't know you. I made a comment about some jerk who apparently molested a bunch of young girls, and he was running for a political office in Alabama, is what I said. Ain't nothing wrong talking about someone like that, that they shouldn't be in office, right? But people will twist those things into what they want to be outraged over. They're looking to be outraged. They want to be outraged. They're like, please say something to trigger me. And I'm happy to do it, by the way, because I'm not the kind of person that's going to be all Mr. Politically Correct. You're not allowed to say this. I'm old school. You know, I'll tell you what I think about you. And I don't care if you think what I think. You think. I don't care if you care. If you care what I say, I'm going to say it. You know, I may not care what you think, but I'm definitely going to say it. And if you're getting upset from what I say, then obviously you care about what I'm saying. You know, otherwise, you wouldn't be pissed off. So I had this television show a while back, right? In Ithaca, New York, you know, and it went a couple different places. And it was during Bush, George W. Bush, and I'm no fan of George W. Bush and that whole nonsense that went on with Cheney and everything. I'm no fan at all, you know. And if you know me, you know that I don't like any of these politicians really because I don't think they ever represent us. Never. Not ever, not ever. If we get something out of politics, it was by accident completely, not on purpose, right? So all we are statistics, numbers, and basically a vote and money. You know, basically that's all we're a battery for the machine, which is all that we are. And then if you don't know that, you don't understand politics, right? Anyway, I had this show. I was going on about Bush. And there was a time where he had choked on a pretzel. He was eating pretzels and he choked on a pretzel. So every month I sent him a bag of pretzels, you know, sent to the White House, and I said, you know, make sure you chomp on these, eat up, whatever. And it was a joke. It was fun. Then the Secret Service sent me a letter, stop and desist, you know, harassing the president with pretzels, saying he should choke to death. You know, maybe I said, go ahead, choke to death on this pretzel. You know what I mean? A good pretzel to choke to death on, I think, is pretty much the tag I put on there. And then, so after the second stop and desist letter, I started sending garlic knots. You know, I shifted my game. I shifted it to garlic knots. You know what I mean? So this woman, so I'm talking about this on TV, right? And I'm reading off the letter, what I got from Secret Service, because that's kind of funny, you know, and it's a comedy. It's a comedy show. You know, even though I talk about real politics and whatever, but we like to have a laugh here. We like to have a good laugh, you know, and if you're laughing, it's better than crying. It's a comedy show, goddammit. You know, this woman, like, calls my house. She gets the number from the manager at the television studio, you know. Nice that they gave my home number out. But that was Time Warner, and they hated me. They wanted me off of there. I was like a demon in their eyes because I was out there. I was actually out there doing stuff, saying real things, and getting people to watch. So I had a good-sized audience. Went out there, said this stuff about Bush and about choking and whatever. And I think it said maybe the Secret Service agent should eat the pretzel first and kind of feed him like a baby bird from mouth to mouth, whatever. It got there at one point. This woman calls my house, leaves a message on my answering machine, which is never wise to do because it's a thing that I can play on the air is basically what it is. And she's like this older lady. Oh, my God. I can't believe what Mr. Angley said about President Bush and Dick Cheney. Oh, my God. She's going on. So I'm sitting there laughing my ass off like a demon would. And then take the tape, go on the next show and play this. She's like, I demand an apology, which is also something you should never do when it comes to me because I'll give you one, but it's not going to be the one that you want. So I went to this big thing on the air on how this woman was so upset. I feel so terrible that she's so upset over Bush and whatever. She loved Bush so much and whatever. Demanded an apology. And I knew she was watching. I could feel it in my gut. You know what I mean? Like, you know, because people, the more they hate you, the more they have to watch you. The more they hate you, the more they have to listen to what you have to say, right? So I'm like, okay, I promise that I'll give you an apology. Here's my apology. I was like, I'm sorry that George W. Bush is an asshole. I'm sorry that Dick Cheney is an asshole. As a matter of fact, I'm sorry that they're lying, cheating thieves who have corrupted the system and who have not lied about 9/11 and caused a whole bunch of other pain for people. I'm sorry for all that. I'm sorry that we have to deal with such people. Oh, my God, man. Then the woman called, like, the television, like, the manager, and she was like, ah, he's supposed to apologize to me, Al Bush. As you heard me snickering in the background, I think she pretty much hit the dirt at that time, man. And then, you know, anything you could do to be a thorn in the side of some miserable bastard's life, you should. Because it educates them. It puts them on the right path. You know what I mean? So it reminded me of that. Those times when people, there was a woman like with Hillary Clinton. Here, let me tell you my opinion, which is, you know, 40 miles long of texts. Let me tell you my opinion. You don't even know. You don't care what your opinion. I don't care. Tell somebody who cares. Yeah, you got a quarter? Call someone who gives a shit. Tell someone who cares, right? No, of course not. They got to attack people because they have no one to tell. That's the deal. Because if all these people are hanging out and they all agree with each other, they really have nothing to say because they all know what each other's going to say and they're all in agreement. So their thing is try to go out and debate people, or not even debate. Debate is healthy. It's good to debate. It's good to get issues out there and feelings and thinking, you know. This isn't a debate. They just tear you apart and call you names and put you down. And then if you don't agree with what they say, they, you know, you're a stupid bastard. You don't know anything. You know, really? It's my opinion. I'm sorry you don't like my opinion, but I don't like yours either. It doesn't really matter. But I'm not going to lose sleep over their opinion. I'm not going to lose sleep over politics. I know people thinking there's going to be a war any minute. Remember Trump took over? And people are thinking like, oh, there's going to be a war. We're all going to die. People can't sleep at night. 3 o'clock in the morning, I'm sitting here crying because we're all going to die from war. Oh, my God. Stop the blood clot crying, man. You know, it really is a system of distorted weights and balances, you know. And if you are upset about this system, go read some headlines from 1970 or 1980 or 1990, and they are always the same. There's always a problem in the Middle East. There's always a thing with China. There's always something with Russia. There's always something, you know. And understanding that there's always something, maybe you can just volunteer for something, find something in your life, do something that makes you happy, that you don't have to sit there and be pounded by this media. If you sit there and watch CNN or MSNBC or Fox or any of these channels, you know, they're all the same, right? Fox is conservative. The rest of them are all liberal, but they're all the same. They race bait. They hate bait. They put all this stuff out there to get people angry. For what? All for what? For ratings, to make money. You see those drug commercials? We talked about that last week on how we, the taxpayers, are subsidizing all these commercials, and they're putting drug commercials for drugs that don't even help anybody, really. Only a very small part of society. And it's unlikely, even in all these studies by the AMA, and Yale did a big study, they said it's unlikely that anybody who actually suffers from the conditions that they're trying to push drugs from will see those commercials. But $14 billion overall, last couple of years, we paid for these commercials. You mean tell me we can't use $14 billion? It was, $6.9 billion a year, whatever the hell it was. We can't use that for a wall or for something worthy or something good, parks, fix the roads, fix the infrastructure, do something. They all say they're going to fix the infrastructure. I haven't seen that yet. It hasn't happened yet. Obama said that when he got in, going to fix the infrastructure. They put signs up on the roads. They put $100 million in signs up. This road is a future project of the government, whatever. The projects never got done. The signs stayed up until they ripped them down. And it really came down to a whole bunch of nothing. Whole bunch of nothing, which is every time they talk. I can't even listen to Trump speak now because it just doesn't matter. It doesn't matter what he says. Doesn't matter what they say. Doesn't matter what Pelosi says. Doesn't matter what Chuck Schumer says. Doesn't matter what any of them say. And then I see this Democratic field of hopefuls coming out for 2020. They don't have a chance of beating him. You got a strong economy. You got North Korea in check. You have a whole bunch of things going on that had never happened before. And if it was anybody else, they'd be giving him the Nobel Peace Prize. But it's Trump. And he's a jerk. He's a jerk. They don't give him the Nobel Peace Prize. You know? And so people love to hate him. And to this day, I wake up every day, and when I hear the words President Trump, I laugh because I can't believe it. I think, you know, it was not even just me. It was a joke in all these TV shows back in the day. It was a joke in that the Simpsons actually predicted Trump was going to be president, and they made fun of the whole thing. Because in Matt Groening's mind, that was the worst possible thing. The funniest thing that could ever happen was for Trump become president. And the show puts the emphasis on things that can't happen. But it did happen, you know? So maybe psychic. I don't know. The only thing that I know is that people are divided. And then they're getting more divided every day because they're more offended every day by more stuff every day. Yeah, and then I see headlines like the feds collect record individual taxes. Well, that's freaking great, but Amazon's not paying taxes. GE's not paying taxes. You have a whole list of energy companies, the biggest grossing companies in America, if not the world, but the ones here that are based here, haven't paid taxes in 8 years. And we have poverty. We have homeless people. And the homeless crisis, you know, the homeless crisis in LA increases 20% every year. 20%. So you only let people live in their own filth. Let them live in the streets. Let them live like that. And you don't care. Because these corporations, the fact that they don't pay out the hundreds of millions in taxes that they should be paying out that could help people like that, doesn't matter. Because it's more important to protect those corporations, you know, but this is the profits they're making. They should be paying taxes on their profits, right? You know who you don't hear about? That AOC and whatever. All these people that are taking the spotlight, the big new politicians out there, none of them are talking about it. None of them are talking about these corporations. You know why? Because they get their money from these very same corporations. Because these corporations support Democrats. They support Republicans. And that's the deal. Easy peasy. That's the deal, right? So it's just ugly, man. really ugly, you know, and it gets uglier by the day. So, socialism and all that, ain't going to work. I believe in some socialistic programs, you know, socialized medicine and things like that, to a degree. You know, like France. France has it where they pay 100% if you want public health care. They pay 80% for private. So they'll pay 80% of your private bill, and then you're responsible for the rest, and then you find, you know, doctors, better doctors, more frequently, whatever you get out of it. You know, the Canadian healthcare system is socialized, but they only have like 37, 38 million people in Canada, the whole Canada. And then and they still have to wait, you know, weeks, if not months, to see people where, hey, if you have cancer or something like that, you don't want to wait one day before you go in and get it taken care of or try to, right? Months. You got to wait months. So a lot of people in Canada will come into the U.S. to get medical stuff done, or they'll go somewhere else. You know, there's other countries that also have superior, you know, medical systems. So, but the reality is we need a balance. And every law that they make, they should ask themselves, is this for the benefit of Americans? Is this for the benefit, right? And you got to say to yourself that I don't see a lot of that go on when it comes to all this nonsense. And then, you know, they throw people a bone and they make people fight over it, but they're not really talking about the true essence of representation. So look at Denver. Denver's got all drug programs going on. They're trying to fix, you know, there's overdoses, deaths, whatever. They're trying to get on top of that. But then they decriminalize a lot of things like defecating in public. I don't know how you can decriminalize defecating in public in the street, on a sidewalk, on someone's front lawn, and think it's okay, and that's for the betterment of society. Also, in Denver, they made it legal for people to squat inside of people's homes, squat on your front lawn. You could be sitting at home right now, and then a whole bunch of people would put a tent in some cars on your front lawn, and they live in that tent in cars, and they could defecate on your lawn. You can't call the police. There's nothing you could do about it. And I'm thinking, like, this is absolutely obscene. Who do they think is going to stay in a situation like that? Rents in Denver went out of control, and it's a complete liberal-run system there, right? They voted 14-0, as a matter of fact, over allowing people to squat on other people's lawns and defecate in public. I don't think that's – one, it's not good for the person defecating in public because they're not a goddamn animal. They're not a dog, you know, defecating in public. So you take care of that homeless population. You start putting the screws to these corporations. Make them pay the taxes that they're supposed to pay. Right? It's that simple. You don't give them a pass because we need those billions of dollars for our homeless people, for poverty, to try to fix the situation. Oh, no, you can't do that. Can't do that. Because you need people to struggle. You need people to be poor. You need people to suffer so they have no way out. So they join the military. You know how many young people join the military from slums, ghettos, all that to get out? So then you have an effective fighting force. Think about it, man. If everybody prospered and everybody had money and nobody had to think about going into the military for college or money or nothing or just to get the hell out of where they are, they wouldn't have a military. You wouldn't be able to have a military. So I say that there's always a sinister angle when it comes to government these days, because I haven't seen that representation. I haven't seen it. But defecating on someone's front lawn, you know, maybe I'll go to Denver and do that right there at their courthouse, man, right on their front steps. Take a big poop. You know what I mean? Visit Taco Bell and hit that steps. Ridiculous. But in San Francisco, same thing. So San Francisco, guess what's happening? People are freaking out. They're moving out. California has an exodus because not just that, but like look at LA. They had to close City Hall because of typhoid, because rats and mice have overrun LA. So they have piles of trash. They have lots of sewage, not including people defecating in the streets and all that. And let me tell you, someone poops in the street within 24 hours, that fecal matter becomes deadly. You start inhaling that, you're going to catch some disease, man. So typhoid's out there from these rats and mice. My solution is at City Hall that they should go and adopt a bunch of cats, right? Cats catch mice and rats, and it's pretty simple. But I don't think that the politicians want to get rid of the rats. I think that there's a professional courtesy going on there or something, man. I think that they're like, you know, those rats aren't so bad. They're a lot like us. You know, they're all swamp rats, right? Is what they do. But if you have typhoid and you have hepatitis going around, and California has an unbelievable amount of problems, and because of that, people are moving out. Then, you know, they preach about having clean transportation and trains. So the federal government gave them billions of dollars to build a train system that's supposed to run through the valley and save them all kinds, you know, all kinds of smog and pollution. California has 8 of the most polluted cities in the United States of America. 8 of them. There's 10 that are big ones. Pittsburgh is one of them, and Cleveland's another. Big polluted areas, right? California has 8. For all the preaching that they do and all the stuff that they do and all the stuff that they say, that's what they've got. They've got a lot of problems. And then instead of using money to solve those problems and get those homeless people off the street and try to solve problems with poverty and then level the ghettos and get rid of the ghettos, they don't care. They only care about collecting more money and complaining about the problems, but they don't care about looking for a solution for the problems. So they're going to build the rail. We gave them the money to build the rail. Now, their new governor says, well, we're not going to build the rail because it was mismanaged. It was not planned properly. So basically all the fault falls on the last governor's shoulders, Jerry Brown. All the fault falls on his shoulders. Then the guys say, we're not going to give the money back to the federal government. He's like, what do you think of that, Trump? You act like that, really? So ridiculous, man, ridiculous. But that you can't let someone preach when their lives are so distorted and messed up. And that's the deal with California. And I love California, and I love the people there. And I hate to see it in disarray, and I hate to see what's going on there. You know, and it's very sad what's happening, that they don't have real representation, that their politicians like Nancy Pelosi would rather be out there talking trash about walls and whatever instead of taking care of her own people in San Francisco, where you can't walk down the streets without seeing needles and needles, feces, all kinds of stuff, homeless people, aggressive homeless people, stealing from people on the streets, going into shops, taking those things, and the cops look the other way. And that's the future of what Nancy Pelosi envisions for the United States of America. I'm going to leave you guys with that. This is Michael Angley on United Public Radio Network, UPRNTalkRadio.com, 107.5 New Orleans, 104.7 in Past Christian, saying good night, y'all.
Mornings. You hit that snooze button at least 3 times. Then you rushed out the door with mismatched socks and an empty stomach. Sounds like someone needs to add some sizzle to their morning routine. Like a delicious breakfast sandwich from Mickey D's. Made fresh with hot and savory sausage. And now, get a sausage McGriddles, sausage McMuffin, or sausage biscuit for just $1 each. That's right. Get your morning sizzle back with 3 great breakfast sandwiches for $1 each only at McDonald's. Price and participation may vary. Cannot be combined with any other offer or combo meal.
The big wireless companies sold you an outdated plan tied to long-term contracts and mystery fees. Simple Mobile's different. You get a lightning-fast 4G LTE nationwide network with no contract, ever. And keep the phone and number you love. Just text the word BYOP to 611-611 to see if your phone is compatible. Simple Mobile. Out with the old, in with the simple.
Standard text message and data rates may apply based on your mobile phone service. Please refer always to the privacy policy at simplemobile.com/privacy policy and the terms and conditions at simplemobile.com/terms and conditions.